What's it take to become a national political pundit? What are the trials and the obstacles that a person must overcome in order to be provided, really, with that golden microphone opportunity to address the pressing issues of the day? Well, on this episode of Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield, I'll spend time with a guest who's been featured on various national news programs, including The Today Show, Lisa Gibbons, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. His friendship list, I kid you not, looks like a White House press briefing roster. He's been featured in the Washington Post, the Baltimore Sun, and many more national newspapers. We'll find out how he did it. And given the social media podcast opportunities of the day, how you might also be able to do it. I'm your host, Dennis Mansfield. My guest today is Kevin Miller of the award-winning Kevin Miller in the Morning radio show. Welcome to the podcast, Kevin.
Dennis, it's an honor to be here. The dream has become a reality. I am I'm so happy you're doing this. You're an inspiration to so many people in the printed word and now in the spoken word. It's great. And thank you for giving me the privilege of being here, sir.
Well, Kevin, it is truly my honor. And as we dig deeper into today's show, we'll find out a little bit about the impact that you have indeed had on me. You know, after you received your degree in secondary education from the University of Akron, your first radio job was in Nashua, New Hampshire. Yeah. Now, Kevin, you were there hosting during the 1996 campaign. And people who came by, like Pat Buchanan, for example, he dubbed you the Pat Buchanan of New Hampshire. You were also featured in the first issue of George magazine. Now, that was funded and founded by John F. Kennedy Jr. Your morning radio program covered the controversy surrounding the men's lacrosse team at Duke University, and you were a regular guest on Headline News. I mean, regular. During that investigative process of that scandal. Hey, Kevin, you've been a frequent guest on the now-defunct Hardball with Chris Matthews. Love to get your feeling on that.
Right.
And you've appeared on Nancy Grace Show, as well as, of course, the Sean Hannity Show and many, many more. Kevin Miller, are you ever amazed at your own career in radio?
Oh, thank you for those honors, Dennis. You know, prior to coming to Idaho, I was really consumed with jumping markets, being that guy in the town, the big town, being multi-platform, which is so ubiquitous now. But, you know, being on the shows and, okay, if you get one hit on Headline News, what about MSNBC? And it was a very competitive drive. It's very weird. I've gone from the youngest guy in talk radio to now, I guess, in my prime, in my mid-50s. I started in my mid-20s. And it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing to have appeared on the Rush Limbaugh show and to meet Rush. And it's really not about me. It's about those issues and the people. And the older you get, Dennis, as you know, the better you get as far as perspective. It's been a humbling ride. And really, what I love about you and what I love about this podcast and everything that you write about, it's about evolution. And we evolve as people. And prior to coming to Idaho, I was all about the big show, this, that, and the other. But now it's about humility. It's about the Boise Rescue Mission. It's about making change at a block-by-block level.
You've done that well. In fact, I would argue that you've done that step-by-step. At one point, you began a multi-mile walk from the eastern part of our state
right,
all the way to our capital city.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, what is the saying here? All straw, no hat. So one of the things that you're trying to do when you're first coming to a community is ingratiate yourself. And a lot of talk radio people, hey, I know what you're against. What are you for?
Yes.
So we had the second largest deployment of the National Guard troops in Iraq. We were the only media outlet to get to go there because I signed a waiver that if I got killed, my company would not be liable for it.
Right. I remember that.
No one else would do that. Mm. And so after that, we did a freedom walk to remember Bo Bergdahl at the time. We didn't know a lot about him, to remember him and everybody who was serving. And I was over 300 pounds. I'm still over 300 pounds, and that's a weakness of mine. And after I completed that walk, my blood pressure was 235 over 135, almost stroked out, had to get on medication. I did that, though, because there's a message that has to be heard. And Dennis, you know this. You help so many people. There are so many stories to tell. And the evolution of us as people is that we listen more than we talk. And when we do that, then we make a difference.
So. I love the way the fellow who was my business coach since the 1980s into today, his name is Peter Gosdeck. He said, you know, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Yeah.
And I've appreciated that. Listen, you got your degree in secondary education.
Yeah.
And within 3 years, you were in New Hampshire during the primary. What an incredibly short period of time. How did that happen?
I never really wanted to be a teacher. My best friend in college talked me into it because he said it would be a great gig. The only thing that I've ever wanted to do in my life, and let me give you the disclaimer, God first, family, and then talk radio. It has been my companion. It has been my mistress. It has been my whole life. And I've dedicated myself to covering issues and not having children or family or anything like that. But my whole idea of recognition and accomplishment were videos and headlines. I went into New Hampshire, worked for free. My parents live there. I was going to work for Pat Buchanan. Pat Buchanan is my idol. Sure. I love Pat.
Incredible, man.
What he did in 92. I went to every radio station. No one would hire me. Finally, I got to work for free for a guy. Worked for free producing his show. He gave me an hour with another guy at 2 in the morning on a Saturday morning. I used that tape to go to another station that no one heard of, no one listened to.
Well, that was brilliant.
I'll do it for free. Started with an hour a day. And then during the primary, I was on 6 hours a day, not getting paid for it. And I thank my parents for that because they're big Dennis Mansfield fans. So they'll be listening to this. They supported me. And I worked a job cleaning toilets at a mall and then doing the radio show. And it was my love. And what a lot of people don't understand, and Dennis, it comes naturally for you, but everybody has that talk show in them. Mm. But after the first 5 minutes, if there's no phone calls, which makes the brilliant talk show hosts so incredible because they can keep your attention.
They really can.
Yeah. And I had to
learn. You really can.
Well, thank you. I had to learn that, though, in a small market on a daytime signal, a 1,000-watt station in Nashua, New Hampshire. And I hustled. I brought everybody in. I was the little kid. Even at 53, I'm still the little kid that's trying to prove myself.
Well, I think you've, A, proved yourself a long time ago, and B, the people that daily wake up and hear you, daily wake up and ride with you and walk with you and listen to you are impacted by those decades of professionalism. Now, I've got to ask you about that George magazine.
Yep. Yeah.
John F. Kennedy Jr.
Right.
is launching it in 1995.
Yes, sir.
And then supermodel Cindy Crawford's on the front dressed as George Washington, sort of.
Yeah.
Ish, if you will. And they launch it. And there you are in it.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I don't mean to go back to you, Dennis, but people need to know your experience in politics. Politics is and the media, it's a club. And I never went out. I was not a social person. So when I wasn't working at the mall, when I wasn't working at the radio station, I was meeting and working political people all the time. Dick Lugar.
Oh, yes.
Dick Lugar ran for president that year. And there was a young lady that was his campaign manager, very kind of aloof young lady. And she, Dick Lugar would love to be on. And great. And so we would have Dick Lugar on, and the writer from George Magazine, and it's one of the most brilliant satirical political pieces of reporting that I've ever read. And so he was covering Lugar, and I was so crazy. And Dennis, you know how it is. You're so passionate. You can stay home on Saturday, hang out with your family, or you can go to this county fair that nobody's ever heard of, and you can interview Dick Lugar and do a live Saturday show that you won't get any money for. No one will be listening. And I can remember in the background of the picture, there's my boss, Ed Leicious, who gave me that opportunity. Oh. He's going, "Ha, Miller, that guy's a freelancer. Don't get your hopes up too high. You ain't getting any pub today." And then the issue came out, and somebody called me and said, "Hey, you're in the issue of George Magazine. There's me, Senator Lugar. and Ed Delicious scowling at me with a diet soda. And he's like myself, very rotund guy, but it was about being in the arena, creating that opportunity. And as I told you off the air, I was supposed to be in the third or fourth issue of George. They were covering Roy Moore in Alabama.
Yes.
Lisa DiPaolo, great writer, worked for JFK, very close to him. I said, hey, did I make the cut? No, you were in the lead, Kevin Miller. And here you have this Yankee guy from New Hampshire in Alabama lecturing people, too stereotypical.
Wow.
But it's a blessing. I think the key to it is people saw something in me.
You know,
I think that's the
if you think about it, look at who they had in George Magazine. I mean, this was a forerunner of the whole mix of politics and culture,
right?
Driven together with a little bit of a slice of lime called entertainment, you know, and it was an amazing concoction because you know Rush Limbaugh was on it, Norman Mailer was on it. I mean, Chris Matthews, who I'd like to take a little bit of a pause here. What was it like being with Chris Matthews when you've been on his show?
Okay, Dennis, I'm going to hit you. Have you ever become the old guy?
Indeed, I have.
Okay. Well, I'm learning. I'm gradually moving into the old guy status.
Yes, yes.
So you have people, and as an old guy, you look at all the young, cosmetically appealing people now on television that had a website or a blog, and now they're the instant expert.
Instant expert.
Right. That they would read something on Chris Matthews and say he's a bad person.
Yeah.
I loved Chris Matthews' show when he covered the Clintons. It was before Hannity and Combs, after Crossfire. That was the show to be on.
It really
Chris
was.
Chris Matthews.
Yep.
And the coolest thing ever was getting the call from Hardball and, hey, Kevin, can you do this, this, and this? Yes, I'd love to be on with Chris Matthews. Well, Chris, you're right. It's tough here in Pennsylvania. The sad part about it was we get invited to go to Washington, D.C. every year. And when I was fired from in Pittsburgh, and he's from Eastern Pennsylvania, so he has a bias towards everything Pennsylvania.
Sure.
So once that connection wasn't there, I just wanted to go and meet him. And Dennis, you know this in the moment. When you're in the moment, when you're the guest, when you're the candidate, everybody loves you.
Yes.
And when
you're not...
they do. Hi, I'm going to be in DC. I'd really like to, his producer query, could you help me out? No return email, no return, nothing. But being on the Chris Matthews show, a lot of folks won't realize it, but that was the political show. And I love the guy. I don't agree with him, but he was provocative.
I find, and I've always found him to be a very, interesting and, quick, thinking man,
right.
Not so much a debater as really an able person to discuss things with quickly.
Right,
I've loved that about him. The fact that what's recently happened to him and being dismissed. That's not a strange thing in the media world, is it? You mentioned that you were fired at some point. We've all been fired at some point. Now, your movement across the nation has been fascinating. I mean, I look at where you were, starting with, New Hampshire and then going to Huntsville. That was a big jump down to Huntsville. But then you went 101 miles further to Birmingham with a different station. What was that like, being in the South with those two stations?
I went from being a conservative in New Hampshire to a liberal in Alabama to an outlier in Birmingham. And let me just say this. I don't want to be sacrilegious, but you're a person of faith. I get a little emotional because I think God had a plan for me. And sometimes I'm a doubter. Hard to believe I'm a skeptic, but I am.
I've never seen you that way.
Right. So I applied for a job in Alabama. The New Hampshire gig, I went to another station. It was Beautiful Music and Kevin Miller. That lasted 3 months, unfortunately. So I'm out of work.
What,
I'm working
you
at
and Montavani or who?
Right, exactly. And I get a chance to go to Huntsville, Alabama. And you're going, well, who cares? Huntsville, Alabama, there's a place, it's now a defunct company called Athens Broadcasting.
Yes.
It was the place where Sean Hannity got his start and left there 5 years, 5 or 6 years before I got there. So the gentleman who owned the place, he hired people from all across the country. He was a native, but he believed in hiring big talent. Everybody that was in that building went on to big markets. You're talking LA, New York, nationally syndicated. Sean wasn't the only person that was nationally syndicated from there. So it was a, I don't want to say it was a dungeon or a dojo, but it was a place where you went in.
Sure.
You didn't get any money, but you were hungry. You made enough to pay for your apartment. And, you know, I went in there and we were on national television again. We covered all these trials and I got fired. And I got fired because I lost the building. It wasn't because of ratings or revenue or anything. I lost the building because our greatest strength is a talent.
Sure.
Is also our weakness. We don't see it coming.
Yes.
What makes us a talent is the thing that drives people crazy. So I got fired and I didn't want to go to Birmingham. I copied an article from Talkers Magazine on how to be a program director.
Oh, really?
I went down there, came up with my plan, and they tripled my salary. And I was going to be the boss.
Oh, my heavens.
Now, again, Dennis, think back to when you were a young Dennis.
Yes.
And you're in charge of people older than yourself.
It's A, frightening.
Yes.
And B, encouraging, because you're thinking, wait, they're really trusting me with these folks.
And
I can do this.
And these people are going to listen to me? They're like my parents.
That's exactly right. Right. So you went from that southern exposure.
Sure.
Then you move to other parts, ultimately going to Pennsylvania.
Right.
Well, Pittsburgh.
I learned a lot. Now, I'll give you the brief synopsis, because I wasn't much of a sports guy, and I ran into a guy by the name of Paul Feinbaum. Hmm. Paul Feinbaum is a man of Jewish descent. He's now one of the most popular people on ESPN, mm-hmm. but he's a political science grad. And
when I you didn't think of, know that.
When you think of him as a sports guy, he wears suits, and he's more like a college professor.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul was the big dog, and really, I was working for Paul, but Paul was on the radio, he was a writer, and he was on television, and I learned so much by watching Paul Feinbaum that it influenced me, because he had a show very similar to a show that I do now, and very similar to a show I did in New Hampshire, where you have a bunch of characters, and every talk radio consultant will tell you, no, you make it about you.
Yes.
You don't care about the people.
Yes.
And Paul broke that mold. And I remember my boss going, you need to rein him in. No. And so
he had a secret sauce, didn't he?
He did. And in Birmingham, this is why faith is so important, Dennis. I don't have to tell you that with all respect. In Birmingham, I was nominated for Marconi because 3 weeks after September 11th, I paid my way to New York, covered Ground Zero, the first local show outside of New York to go there. And then Glenn Beck did, and all these other folks did. And this is a little guy from Birmingham, Alabama. And because of that, a church was listening to my show.
Mm.
And this is the coolest thing ever. You couldn't volunteer with the United Way or the Red Cross, but you could at this place called Nino's on Canal Street.
Really?
And Nino and his 82-year-old mother, Josephine, took me in again. I have this kind of shuffling, buffling, stumbling Inspector Clouseau overweightness about me that people have an affinity for me. I talk to them.
It's called friendship. You are a friend to people. And because you exert that to them, this is a learning lesson for the people that are listening. To have a friend, you must be one. And you are friends with the people that you come across.
Well, and I'm on Canal Street. You're going to love this. And I don't know anything about New York. I'm like, hey, man. And he goes, hey, where are you from? I go, Alabama. Hey, come on in, kid. I'm like early 30s or whatever. So he was feeding the people, the workers at Ground Zero, free.
Wow.
Went bankrupt, did it 24 hours a day, all on donations, all on volunteers. So this church group said, we'd like to volunteer. I put him in touch with Nino, and 20 kids from Alabama went up there.
Really?
And the workers at Ground Zero loved them so much, took them in. And remember, it's 20 years this year.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And that's what people don't get about radio, is making a difference in the spoken word.
And in that making of the difference, think about this. You've met incredible people. You've interviewed incredible people. Let's walk through to the degree that you feel comfortable.
Well, hold on. Let me just give you this, because this is important if you don't mind.
Far away.
This is your program, but I after all doing that.
No, this is my program because of you.
No,
so feel free, my friend.
I just think that I'm speaking to you right now. If you don't feel recognized, if you don't feel affirmed, you are special, and you have to have that through your faith, your family, and through your own burning fire. So doing all that, I turned down my dream job in Nashville. New management came in. I was fired. I had just gotten married, and I was out of work, and I had to sue the company to get my 2 weeks vacation. The guy wouldn't let me take my honeymoon.
Oh, my heavens.
I went to Raleigh, covered Duke lacrosse. And it was really weird. Nancy Grace and I had this thing, and I've never hung out with her socially, but it was an on-air chemistry. And people thought that we were like a couple, which was odd.
That is strange.
But anyway, hopefully we'll get to that. But let me just say this. Went to Raleigh for 4 years. It's about perseverance. Gave that up to go to a job that I worked 9 years to get to in Nashville. New guy came in, fired, even though I had ratings and revenue. I got a call. Hey, would you like to fill in Pittsburgh? Hey, we've got this job opening. We want you to do it. KDKA, first radio station. Sure, I'd be honored.
Oh my heavens, of course.
I was CBS Radio. I was so miserable in Pittsburgh because culturally it was so different from the South.
Yeah.
And when people, it's always very important in life to course correct. Mm-hmm. I didn't. They go, we want you to be controversial. Okay, I will be. And employee of the year. Got stock options, and then I was out 10 days before Christmas.
Oh, my.
Now, there has to be a pattern here. It can't all be them.
Sure.
But I thought to myself, man, blackballed from the industry. You can Google Kevin Miller Obama to find that out. It's a true story. And then blessed by God to be here. But, you know, you go through that, and when you don't have a family, and when you don't have anything else, I had my two dogs.
Mm.
That provided me with the courage to get through. It was a tough course, and I think people need to understand that there's going to be hardships in the road. So, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's what this is about. You know, you're the one who normally interviews.
Yes.
You get to be the interviewee.
And you have a gift for this, because usually I'm very tight-lipped and very controlled. You provide a very comforting presence.
What about the people that you've interviewed who do not provide any kind of a warm and fuzzy, sure. any kind of an embracement,
right.
embracing of you? Who comes to mind when you think of the most, the small group of the most irritating people that you've been stuck with?
Right.
Who are national?
Right. National or local, are you a professional? Dennis, you've been in places where it's on you and you have to get over yourself. So when we started the school program, it's tough to interview a sixth grader. And you go, well, look at him. What does he know? Come on, they're giving me this kid. He doesn't know anything. And you're going, okay, quit being, Lars Larson.
Yes.
Be Steve Harvey.
Yes, absolutely.
And the great gift of a talent is getting someone that doesn't want to talk, that doesn't like you, that doesn't agree with you, to open up. It's finding that frequency.
Yes.
So I think my biggest challenges were interviewing kids and teachers that they were told to do this. And then you think about what's the secret? Empathy. Empathy, and it's like, okay, this person has this, this, and this. Let's see if we can make them laugh. Let's get them into a comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks ago, we had a lady go, well, you're abrasive. Okay, you don't want to talk to me. Reverend Bill, take it away. And as she's talking to Reverend Bill, she's not opening up, and I found the trigger point.
Did you?
And it was some of the most powerful words that we've heard concerning why you should help homeless people. This person was homeless at 13. Now a successful business person. So
when you think about the national people that you've interviewed or local
right.
people that you've had the greatest time with.
Oh, yeah.
Who comes to mind?
The best interview ever was Mr. T, and it lasted for like 5 minutes.
Really? Tell us about that. Now, for our younger audience.
Right.
Who may not know the A-Team.
Right.
Mr. T.
Rocky III.
Rocky III. Clubber right. Lang.
Yes.
That was his name in that.
He'll bust you up.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, it was just one of those national radio interviews, and you're thinking, this guy is doing like 20 a day.
Yeah.
And you've been on the tour. You understand that.
I do, indeed.
And you're lucky if they call you your name, or it's like,
thanks, Keith. It's been great being with you.
Oh, my name's Steve. Yeah, Keith, good job. You're right, sir. And he was just so warm and so friendly and so fuzzy. He has a great talent. The best interview of all time. There's a couple. The people that in Yugoslavia that have seen the Virgin Mary.
Yes.
I can't think of them offhand. They have a connection to Birmingham, Alabama.
Do they?
Yeah, Metagorgi.
Yep, Metagorgi.
So I interviewed Maria there.
Oh, my heavens.
In Birmingham, and we were surrounded by people, and she's talking about the vision she had. Pretty powerful.
Absolutely.
And again, I'm the guy that my wife says, I walk around dressed up like I'm looking for a kickball tournament. She would be correct. And maybe that comforts people, but the biggest one ever would have to be Patrick Joseph Buchanan. And he always saw something in me. And last time I saw him was like 4 years ago. He goes, ha, put on weight, haven't you? Kevin from Nashua. He and his beautiful wife, Shelley, they go everywhere together. Dennis is a writer. I mean, you understand his brilliance.
Oh, my heavens. When he wrote for President Nixon, he was a remarkable, gifted staff admin. He did work that was beyond belief.
Yeah.
Then as he continued to move his way through and then into the media world, he was always there to help other people. Now, it was, like you said, very straight and very direct.
Yeah.
And that can be painful to some people, mm-hmm. but not to you.
Yeah, it's funny because you ask the political people today, they probably don't know who Patrick Joseph Buchanan is or was, but I just marvel at him. He's the reason why I love the politics. But, you know, I'm trying to think of anybody else. Sean Hannity has always been very nice to me. Mm-hmm. You know, Sean makes a gazillion dollars a year, so successful. But if you compare him to all the other radio people, he still gives back 3 hours a day to radio.
Yes, he does.
And he doesn't need radio anymore, but we definitely need him. His kindness. We did a couple of events together, and he really showed me by just watching, because he's very brilliant at, like, the last time I think I saw him was either New York or Washington, where coming out of the White House. Yeah.
Ooh, coming out of the White House. Ooh, hey now.
You know, I had a friend who recently sent me a note, and he said, I was on a yacht going up a river.
Right.
I responded back to him, I've never said those words before.
Right.
Most people have never said the words coming out of the White House.
Right.
You and I have.
Right.
Because we did it. We lived it.
Yeah.
When you did it,
yeah.
You still did it with a sense of awe, as did I.
Yes.
Coming out of the White House.
Right. And I'm walking by, and there's Sean with his TV crew. Kevin, what are you doing? Not much, Sean. How are you? Yeah, good. Yeah, see you, kid. But he took time. He loves the radio people.
Is that where the photo of you at the White House? Or is that a more recent one?
There's a couple. There was the first one at the White House was the one with Hannity. Mm-hmm. And the second one was most recently when it was during the Obama administration, actually. And I was very blessed. You remember Tony Snow, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And I really think that people take an interest in people like the underdog. And when you ask, how did I do any of this? People, I don't know if they're cheering for you. People cheer for you. And Tony Snow remembered me when I would interview him in Huntsville before he was on Fox News.
Is that right?
And when he became the press secretary, whether I was in Raleigh, Nashville, or Pittsburgh, they always took care of me. Dana Perino, whoever. And Tony's last day before he left because of cancer, he came on with me in Pittsburgh. And because of him, I got to take my mom to the White House Christmas party, which was a great honor. And then here's Mark Levin. And again, remember, I live in Idaho. I'm very happy to live in Idaho. I go to schools. I live at a Walmart.
Right.
2 weeks a year.
Yes, you do.
Mark Levin in the map room goes, Kevin. He goes up to my mom. Thank you for Kevin. I love you. And this
what
is why.
What a statement.
And the reason why Mark Levin said that to me, because many years ago when I was a baby talk show host in Huntsville, Alabama, his family lives there.
Do they really?
And they're all, when he was F. Lee Levin.
Yes.
They always talked about Kevin Miller. And so I would book him on the show. Now, again, constitutional lawyer, Landmark Legal Foundation, Rush Limbaugh's lawyer.
Yep.
He's going on with local Kevin in Huntsville. And he always remembered that. And that's the great thing about people, that they remember people and they recognize their accomplishments.
Well, then.
I'm yapping.
No. You began seeing the changeover from purely radio and television to the world of online communication, to podcasts.
Yes.
What did you initially think that podcasts would do? Would they become as big as they have become?
Yeah. Well, to quote Mark Levin, I'm a dope. And
yeah, that is a very good.
Here's what I missed out on. I didn't think that computers or the internet would be something.
decided you didn't need to be bilingual. And podcasting, that's a fad. Not at all. There are people that are addicted to podcasting, books on podcasting, and really it's a challenge to the spoken word. And I'm amazed that you have a Ben Shapiro, a Dan Bongino. I remember Dan Bongino at the 2012 GOP convention in Tampa, going from booth to booth, begging to be on.
Wow.
Not like in a bad way. He was a hustler back then.
He's always been.
Right. And look, 9 years later, he's the man.
He is.
Yeah.
And I don't think there are very many people who saw that coming.
I didn't see it coming. In fact, a lot of times, and Dennis, you can ask Mrs. Miller about this one. I'll go, well, you know, I know this person. That's enough about who you know and who you didn't know. And I go, well, that should have been me. No, God has a plan for all of us. And Dan is incredibly driven, like all of those people, Dennis. I mean, there's a trade-off with everything.
There really is, Kevin. You know, I remember shortly after you had come to the Idaho market for KIDO to really impact the people around us, you came with a friend, a new friend, mm-hmm. And Austin Hill came in the morning.
In the afternoon.
Or in the afternoon, excuse me. You came in the morning, right. He came in the afternoon. And in the process of that, you were never competitive with each other.
Right.
You just had two different types of talk.
Austin radio. Kind of got me more than I got him, though. Austin was, he had a different level. And you know, God rest his soul. I pray yes. for him every night and his family, but he had a quirkiness that wasn't appreciated.
He really did.
Yeah.
This was the market that he ended his career and he passed away. Was a good friend to you and me. He was a good friend to others, but he was never a close friend in the truest sense because he always kept a distance. What I found out, though, at the end of his life was that, like so many people in entertainment, he was wondering, when's the hammer going to come down?
Everybody does, yeah.
Yeah, it's a common thread, isn't it?
Yes, it fuels, the insecurity fuels your passion, and regardless of whatever level you're at. Dennis, as a candidate for governor, as a candidate for Congress, people are always wondering about, it's the next election, it's the next this, I've got to do this. And you're thinking, man, that person hasn't made. Look at Jim Risch, runs like he's 20 points behind all the time.
All the time.
And you're going, man, if I were Jim Risch, I'd be hanging out at my farm, I'd be doing everything. It's that passion, it's that fuel.
It's also that fear.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, you know, as we kind of come in for a landing here, I want you to talk to the people who are fearful about getting involved in a podcast.
Oh.
Speak to them.
Oh, not at all. I think that people are great consumers of content, and the beauty about what we're seeing today, and it's been predicted, you have a guy named Clay Travis, started a website 10 years ago on sports. Very provocative young man. Yes. Now he's going to be the guy with Buck Sexton to do the Rush Limbaugh show. Mm. The guy hustled. He did a lot. There are so many, and in this Treasure Valley, you know, you've got the income school people in Star Idaho. You've got ClickFunnels. You've got our friend with ConvertKit, Nathan Berry. You've got all these innovators, and you just need to talk on your phone. And what, you know, it's a great way to meet people. Yes. It doesn't matter if I didn't want to do YouTube because I go, well, I'll do it for three people. Those three people are pretty important.
That's exactly right.
The Death Star of media distribution has been broken up. And as I tell people in theaters and everything else, and I've said to you, you become Dennis Mansfield Incorporated. Yes. And this is an avenue, whether it's 3, 5, 10,000 people, consistency, great content, I would encourage everybody to do it. Look, I am so happy for you, and you have such a future in this. I would listen to you as a guest, and I'm going, man, I would listen to a book on tape with this guy. I would listen to a podcast because you're inquisitive and you let people. Let me just say this. I don't like to talk. This is the most animated that I have been in any interview. I'm usually like, we did, we do, do, yep, yep, yeah, did it. But you know, what you resonate, I'm reflecting back.
Kevin, without years ago you saying, you can do this. You can put a podcast together, Dennis, and challenging me to think about it. And then going and talking to my son, Colin, who you know and you've been around and you've seen him grow up.
The coffee guy.
Yes, the coffee guy. In fact, the West Point graduate, mm-hmm. the Army officer, the now entrepreneur in software. That young man heard you and heard the message and came to me and said, Dad, you need to do it. I have a love of trivia, political trivia. I love music trivia. Nathan Berry, who you mentioned about ConvertKit, he and Colin grew up together. And so when Colin contacted Nathan, who I just, Steve, his father and his mother, all of the little Berry Patch Berries, I just loved him growing up. We were in the same church with him for, gosh, I don't even know how many years.
Let me just jump in for a minute. Yeah. And this is the thing about this area. A lot of people don't know how successful Nathan Berry is. He doesn't brag about it. You don't see him on social media. This cat has it going on.
He does.
One of the best kept secrets in our area.
Let me explain to you that I had him listen to the first season of the podcast.
Right.
He came back to Colin and me and he said, I see what you're doing. Here are my suggestions.
Yeah.
And it was from those suggestions that we've now geared up to go. So in a real way, Nathan has joined you in helping me see things a little different and more in depth, more opportunity to go deeper into people's lives and to share about issues, to have fun.
Now, how tough is that though for old dogs like us to be getting direction from your son and Nathan? Now, that's a whole rewiring of the ecosystem.
It is, and it is the idea that if we're not growing, we're dying.
Yeah.
And I will always grow.
Yeah.
I've set my personal mission statement to live to be 104 years old. That's on my desk every day. And there are things I desire to accomplish. And Susan said to me, well, how many wives does that involve? And I said, only one. Only one. And she goes, well, you're going to be a bachelor for a long time after I go.
Right.
The fun thing is to have life and have fun and enjoy the things and to encourage others. You know, this is a show that you probably have how do I say it politely? You just never talk about Mrs. Miller.
Oh.
On today's show, on this episode, I want to know about Mrs. Miller.
Oh, Dorothy Miller, who she changed my life 9 years ago when I met her. I had a shaved head because my sister had lymphoma, so I was in solidarity with her. I was hanging out with some listeners at a photo shop right next to her flower shop, and she walks in. We get into not an argument, but a debate, and we go out, and before you know it, I'm married, a stepdad, and now a granddad, and it's so fascinating. I have so much respect for parents and grandparents because the parent thing I skipped, and I was okay in life being by myself.
Right.
But she has rewired me that my life is not about me. It's about her. And it's a very enlightening experience because she herself, successful business person, successful parent, successful grandparent, and really has shown me what is really important in where we're living, towards the end.
Well, we love hearing about Mrs. Miller. Oh. Whenever you bring up Mrs. Miller in the morning.
Oh boy.
And I Susan, she listens obviously while she drives to her work, and I listen in the morning as well.
Right.
And I just smile because this is our opportunity today to say to Dorothy, thank you. Thank you for your investment in Kevin. Thank you for the kids and the grandkids' investment in their dad and their grandpa.
Well, they're funny because, you know, you may be a big star, but hey, go get the bag. Hey,
there's go get an old the snow saying, gun. There's an old saying, no man is a hero to his own valet.
Yeah.
And I think that's an absolutely true statement. Well, thank you, Kevin, for being on the show today. Thank you for being on our podcast. Thank you for being in my heart and for being in the hearts of people all across this nation, from Pittsburgh to Huntsville, going across the United States, finally to Boise, Idaho. We are thankful that God has given you the gift, that you share the gift, and that we really prosper because of the gift that you have.
Dennis, thank you. I can't wait to listen to your 1,000th episode, your subscribers that will continue to grow. I do want to thank my parents, Pat and Larry Miller, who are big Dennis Mansfield fans. My mom listens every day. Believe me, if there's something that I steer off course, I can hear it from my mom. And my dad, as you know, a military man who is always just a pillar of responsibility. So I owe it all to them. And Dennis, I really appreciate the opportunity. I'd usually be in bed by now, but no, I am here with you. And you're going to continue to do great things. And you get it, man. I mean, people just hear your voice and the compassion and the realness. And that is what we need today. So thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. I'm Dennis Mansfield, your host for Just Around the Corner. Thanks to Colin Mansfield, Michael Seals, and Ken Adams for production work on today's episode, and to Kevin Miller in the Morning for inspiring me to start this podcast. Take time to enjoy what's next in your life, because as John Hay, one of the most famous men in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, once wrote to a friend, all the best gifts are just around the corner.